to our final installment of our Breaking Out of Unhealthy Rhythms, Making Room for Life series. As we prepare to take a closer look at how we can fuel ourselves for the journey, have a look at this video.
Looks like we're going to need some gas.
Oh? Well, how much gas do you think is in there right now?
Well, it's on E.
You know, Rick, oftentimes Jerry, he lends me his car, and I find myself in a situation where the car is almost out of gas. But for a variety of reasons, I don't want to be the one responsible for purchasing costly gasoline.
So you want to know how far you can drive your friend's car for free?
Well, I make it up to him in other ways.
Where is it now?
There's still some overlap between the needle and the slash below the E.
How low are you going to go?
Oh, I've been in the slash many times. This is nothing. You'll get used to it. Just put it out of your mind.
Have you ever been completely below the slash?
Well, I almost did once, and I blacked out. When I came to, the car was in a ditch, and the tank was full. I don't know who did it, and I never got to thank them.
Mr. Kramer, the road! Stop! Stop!
Is it just the angle I'm looking for?
No, sir. We are down there.
Oh, this is amazing. Oh, I never felt so alive.
All right, I'm satisfied. We better get some gas.
What? Well, we can't stop now.
What do you mean?
We have to keep going all the way back to the dealership. That was the plan.
There was no plan.
Well, let's make it the plan. Let's just go for it, like Thelma and Louise.
They drove to a dealership?
No, they drove off a cliff.
You are one sick mama. I like it.
Would you play with the road?
Cars can go on empty, but not us humans, huh, fella? I'll get us a couple of Twix bars.
No. No coconut for me.
All right, I'll get your mom's bar.
Keep the engine rock. Ah! Oh, man! Not the gas!
But it needs it, Kramer. It needs it bad.
This will make you happy. Because it won't!
Go on, Tommy.
Listen to me. When that car rolls into that dealership and that tank is bone dry, I want you to be there with me. When everyone says Kramer and that other guy, oh, they went farther to the left of the slash than anyone ever dreamed!
Maybe we better get moving.
It's good to have you back, Stan.
It's Rick, by the way.
No time!
There's the dealer!
Hey!
We did it! We pulled it off! I can't believe it! Where's the needle?
Oh, it broke off, baby!
Oh, Mr. Kramer, I gotta thank you. I learned a lot. Things are gonna be different for me now.
Well, that's a weird thing to say.
I wonder how much longer we could have lasted.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder.
How many of you have done that? How many of you have taken your vehicle right down to the point of where it was running on fumes? Come on, don't be afraid to share this. Okay. I recently went on a road trip with some good friends, and the vehicle we were traveling in was a newer model with some of the most recent technology, and it came outfitted with some very, very cool accessories. The display was conveniently indicating how many kilometers the vehicle could go until empty. Now, for some of you, this is old school. You're driving nice vehicles. In our family, we're just driving old, old cars. My boys always tell me, Dad, can we just get a car that has a USB port? One of our cars still has a cassette player in it. So that just goes to show you kind of cars that we're driving. While we were driving this gray car, we noticed a sound that came on, and it said, you have 80 kilometers remaining until your tank is empty. Now, we didn't push it much beyond that. We found a service station. We got some fuel. But I wondered, quietly, if some other notification would appear on the display if we were to pull a Kramer. So let me just do a little survey here. Let's do a survey by raising of hands, and don't be shy in participating. How low do you let your gas tank get before you typically refill it? How many of you, you're like, as soon as it gets to three quarters, I fill it up? Show of hands. Okay, there's a number of you who like to play it safe in life, nicely. How many for you? It's half. Once the needle gets to half, you're like, I'm going to go get some. All right, very good. How many of you, it's a quarter. As soon as it gets to a quarter, yep, you're the more sensible people. You don't like asking up that much. Okay, it's a quarter. You get down to a quarter. How many of you wait until the light comes on to gas up? All right, these are my people. You're my tribe. I do this too, right? I grew up in a family where we would take vacations during the summer. We either went camping or we take longer road trips. And I always thought it was funny because as soon as the needle got to like a quarter, my mom was getting nervous and started looking around for gas stations. And my dad was just starting to come alive. He's like, how far can we go on this? By the way, how many of you ignore the light even when the light comes on? Yes, there's those of you who will. Okay, and finally, one last question. How many of you have actually run out of fuel? Just put your hand up. You were driving? Okay. Okay, there's a good number of you. You've run out of fuel. Okay. Want to tell us why you ran out of gas? There are a number of reasons why we can run out of gas. And interestingly enough, these are the same reasons you run out of gas in your spiritual life, in your emotional life, in your relational life, in your financial life. One of the first reasons that we give is we just say, you know what, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to stop and refuel. I just don't have the time. And I'm pretty sure every one of us at one time or another has uttered these words. We're busy and we know we need to get gas, but we tell ourselves, you know what, I'll just push it a little bit further because I don't have the time. I'm already late for this appointment and I simply don't have the time to stop and refuel. It's true for us in life as well, isn't it? If you don't stop regularly to refuel spiritually or emotionally, relationally, you're going to run out of gas. Then there's the I'm in a hurry, I'm under pressure line. You know, the harder you drive your vehicle, the more fuel you're going to consume. It's no different in life. Hurry depletes your emotions, your spirit, your energy, your body. If you've got the pedal to the metal all the time, you're going to burn more fuel emotionally and spiritually, relationally, all that. A lot faster if that you were going at a bit of a slower pace. That's why the common theme in our series these last weeks has been slow the pace of your life. Make space in your schedule. Create margin in your life. Now you also may be running out of gas because there's a hidden leak that you're unaware of. You may have a small leak in your tank or in your fuel line that's causing you to lose fuel. That happens in life as well. There can be hidden leaks in your life that are draining you of time and of energy, causing your fuel gauge to drop more quickly than it should. Those leaks could be caused by harder relationships, more challenging relationships that drain you, sapping you of energy and strength. Or you've got a whole bunch of responsibilities, more than you can handle, and you've sprung a leak somewhere in your life, and you feel like you're running on empty. Maybe for you, it's that you're ignoring the limits, the specifications that were given in the owner's manual. Or you're simply being prideful. You think that the limits don't apply to you. Right? The owner's manual, conveniently stored in your glove compartment, tells you how many liters of fuel go into your tank and roughly how far that will take you. And the information is based on tests that the manufacturer has done where they let you know how many kilometers you're going to get out of a tank of gas. And regardless of how much faith you have, your tank is not going to get any bigger. You may say, you know what, I believe that my tank is bigger. I believe that the car can go farther than they tell me. I know it says it'll only go about this far, but I believe it's going to go further. And your stubbornness and pride will have you running out of gas long before you take time to stop and refill. You can believe what you want. You won't be able to increase the capacity of your tank or go further than the car's specs state. Now, God's Word, the Bible, tells us how God has designed us and how we can run well, how we can function well in life. And sadly, very few people pay attention to what God has said. And all around us, people are running out of fuel. They're running out of gas emotionally. They're running out of gas in their relationships, in their spiritual journey. They're running out of gas financially. Ignoring the guidelines that God has given us, like taking one full day of rest in seven, taking the Sabbath, we talked about that, in previous weeks. Pushing ourselves further and harder than we were created to go will ultimately lead to a life lived on fumes, one where we will inevitably run out of gas. Another reason we might run out of gas is because we're distracted, or we're not paying attention to the gauges, to the display. I mean, those indicators, that display, those gauges on your dashboard are right in front of your nose for a reason. But you can still run out of fuel if you don't pay attention to them or you don't believe them. And that's a bit foolish. It's equally senseless to not watch the gauges in your life that let you know you're going too fast or that you're pushing too hard or that you're not recharging. You're not refilling your tank when you need to. Indicators like persistent fatigue, warning you that you're not getting enough rest, you're not getting enough sleep. For me, my weight is a gauge. It lets me know that I'm too busy, I'm too stressed, because when I'm stressed, I eat. Also lets me know I'm not being active enough. Maybe anger or irritability or impatience is an indicator that you're going too fast, that you're pushing too hard. And often the people closest to you see it long before you do. And if they say something, you should listen to them. Another reason we run out of gas is because we're overloaded. We're carrying too much weight. Heavy loads burden a vehicle and affect its mileage. My pickup truck sometimes consumes a lot more fuel, or does consume a lot more fuel, when it's pulling the trailer we used to go camping than when it isn't towing anything. Similarly, the greater the load you carry in life, the more fuel you're going to burn. The sooner you're going to run out of gas. And we're very good at taking on more loads, aren't we? Thinking we can handle another commitment. Thinking that we can take on another project. Another relationship. When we're overloaded, when we're carrying too much weight, we're going to run out of gas more quickly. And another reason that we run out of gas is that we simply leave no margin in our life. We don't allow time to fill up. You know, all throughout the series, we've been talking about building space into our lives to refuel. Because we know that we can't go anywhere on an empty tank. It's like we know we're running low on gas, but we don't leave early enough for that appointment so that we can stop and fill up. And so we rush out of the driveway, we leave our parking lot, we leave our driveways with a car that is near empty or is actually empty. And with that lack of margin, with no time to refuel, we can actually run out of gas. Now, too many of you are running on empty. Regardless of which one of the reasons it may be that I just mentioned, I see it in your eyes, I hear it in your voices when I talk to you, and I know because I've been there. I've run out of gas. That's the whole reason that we took the whole month of September to talk about and address this concern, to look at making room for life, to learn how to build margin, build space into our schedules. We talked about how margin is the space between our load and our limits. Margin is really creating buffers in our schedules, space in our schedules. It's ensuring that we're not scheduling appointments back to back to back, cramming every moment with activity. It's building in these buffers into our daily rhythms, ensuring that we have some fuel reserves, that we're not running on empty, that the light on our display is not coming on. And we also talked about how we all need margin in all aspects of our lives, our physical life, our emotional world, our spiritual life, in our relationships, in our finances. So this morning, as we wrap up this series, I invite us to take one more look at Jesus' words that teach us how to fuel for the journey. They show us how we can stay fueled for life's journey. Take a look at these words out of Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says this. He says, "If you are tired," and in our day and age, that's many of you, if not most of you, "if you are tired from carrying heavy burdens," that's an overloaded life, that's a life with no margin, "come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and then learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear and this burden is light." based on Jesus' words here, we can learn a few things about how we can stay fueled for the journey, how we can enter into these healthier rhythms for life. Make a note of the following. The very first thing that we need to do is we need to admit our need. I have to admit that my life needs to change. I have to want to change. I have to tell myself I can't keep running and pushing so hard that the light is almost on all the time. I can't do that. We need to admit that change needs to come into our lives. The fact is that you could have listened to, maybe even been inspired by, some of the things that were taught in the series in the previous weeks, and you can do nothing about it. You'll be just as stressed out tomorrow as you were yesterday, just as tired and overloaded if you don't do anything about it. Nothing will change in your life unless you determine, I'm not going to live this way anymore. And you do something about it. You admit that change needs to happen. First part of verse 28 says, if you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, each of us has to recognize and admit we're tired from carrying heavy burdens. So do you feel like you're running on fumes? Are you fed up with the pace of your life? Are you willing to do something about it? If you don't, you might just break down. If you do something about it, you can experience breakthrough. That's your decision. Break down, breakthrough. You may remember that in June of this year, two very famous Americans, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, took their lives through suicide within a few days of each other. You know, I think some of us who were sitting there processing that thought, well, like, why would they do that with all that they've got going? And I think they showed us that you can be successful but stressed. Both were famous but not fulfilled. They had lots of money but seemingly little meaning. They had lots to live on but apparently not a whole lot to live for. And this is becoming more and more common in our culture. People are tired and they're carrying heavy burdens. Most of them aren't talking about it. So what can they do? What can we do if this is us? Well, Jesus tells us here, you got to say, I'm tired. I'm tired of these heavy burdens. You admit your need. And then he says this. He says, come to me. And so our step is to turn to Jesus. We can respond to his great invitation where he says, come to me. If you look closely, Jesus in this passage uses three verbs. He says, come, he says, take, and he says, learn. So first he says, come to me. He's inviting us to come to him, bringing him the good and the bad of our life, the stuff that is frustrating us, the painful and the shameful bits of our life, the stuff that's exhausting and exasperating us. Everything. He says, come to me just as you are. And he says, and I will give you rest. Jesus doesn't say, come to church, come to religion, come on and take a bunch of rules on or do a bunch of rituals. The antidote for the overload and the stress that you feel in your life is not simply a more sane schedule. It's not a bad thing, but it's just not the antidote for your soul. The answer isn't a program or a pill for stress relief. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. What we need is not a religion. What we need is a relationship. Jesus says, come to me. And Jesus doesn't care why you turn to him, as long as you turn to him. You can turn to him and say, you know what? Jesus, I'm wiped out. I'm worn out. I'm stressed. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm feeling very guilty. I'm ashamed of the things that I've done. Quite frankly, I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm unfulfilled. I'm worried. Whatever. Jesus doesn't care why you turn to him. He simply says, come to me. Come to me. In the Gospel of John, we see Jesus say, often whoever comes to me, I will never reject. So you don't have to worry. Well, you know what, Jesus, you don't know me. You don't know some of the things that I've done. You don't know the skeletons that I have in my closet or the dark in my past. You just don't know. Jesus says it doesn't matter. You come to me. And what does Jesus give us when we come to him? He says, come to me and I will give you rest. All right, the New International Version has, and I will give you rest for your souls. He gives us rest, the kind of rest that we need. This is much deeper than a physical rest because, frankly, for most of us, our problem isn't tired muscles. Our problem is a tired spirit. It's a spiritual problem. It's a soul problem. We need relief from tension, rest from anxiety, from hurry, from worry, from stress, from the expectations of others, whatever it is. But here's the sad thing about us. When we get to a place where we're overloaded in life, when we're stressed out, there may be a bunch of different things that we turn to before we turn to Jesus. Some of us will turn to entertainment and we'll lose ourselves in a TV program or watch a movie, kind of get lost in some media, just check out of our stressful reality for a bit. But inevitably it returns. Others of us maybe turn to exercise or recreation, a sport or a hobby. And again, there's nothing wrong with these things, but they won't give you the rest that your soul needs. For that, you'll need to turn to Jesus. Only He can restore your soul. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said this: He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. That's the opposite of what our culture says to do. It says when you're tired and you're feeling worn out, you're feeling empty inside, fill it with activity. Go do more stuff. Go get more. Go have more. Go be more. Go do more. Whatever, you just fill it up. Just stay busy. How's that working for us, by the way? It doesn't fill the emptiness. So our culture says, go and do more. Go acquire more stuff. Jesus says, just wait upon me once you come to me. And come to me just as you are. What we really need is time with God, waiting in His presence. So we need to admit our need for true rest. We need to turn to Jesus, and we need to give Jesus control. And this may be the real issue with the overload in your life for some of you, this whole thing of giving up control. The reason some of us are feeling very stressed is we're trying to do too much and we're trying to control too much. We're behaving as if this all depends on us. And by the way, the greater your need to control things, the more overloaded and the more stressed out you're going to be in life. But eventually, you're going to realize, if this is you, that most of the things that matter in life are beyond your control. Look at what Jesus says. He says, come to me. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Those of you who have an agricultural background know that a yoke is a piece of wood that joins two cattle or two animals together to pull a cart or a plow. And the purpose of a yoke is to share the load and to lighten the load. It's not a burden as much as it is as an effective tool that lightens the load. You share the effort. The work is shared. Right? When two animals are teamed together, they share in the work that is being done. They share the load. Could it be that the reason that you're so stressed out, maybe that you're overloaded, is you're trying to carry the load by yourself? If that's you, please realize that's not what Jesus had in mind for you. That's why he says, take my yoke upon you. Team up with me. Get into that yoke with me. And he says that because he says in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's going to take the load that you've been carrying. He's going to share it with you. In the New Living Translation, it says, my yoke fits perfectly. He does not give you an ill-fitting yoke. It fits your shape. A yoke represents partnership. Jesus is offering to be your partner in life. And he's telling you, listen, you aren't meant to carry all of life's loads by yourself. I'll take part of it if you choose to team up with me. I will walk with you, and I'll share the load with you. Back in the Old Testament, and the songbook of the Bible in Psalms, it says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. That's being yoked with Him. And He'll carry your load and He'll help you out. Right, if you're constantly feeling overloaded, the reality is you're not yoked to Jesus. Because it says here, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. If these two words don't describe your life right now, easy and life and light, it means you're not yoked to Jesus at this particular moment in your journey. You can know him for sure, but still be choosing to carry the load by yourself. You're not teaming up with him. You're not in partnership with him. You're not helping him carry your load. So this yoke is a symbol of partnership, but it's also a symbol of control, because you use a yoke to guide animals. And when you guide animals, you keep them from going off on a tangent, an unwanted direction. You keep them from going off at a pace that isn't healthy for them, one that is bigger than they can manage. So when I'm yoked with Jesus, we move together in the same direction and at the same pace. If you're yoked to Jesus, you truly teamed up with him, you can't move faster than him. You can't go in a different direction than him. Which means if you stay connected to him, he won't let you go off down a hurtful path. The Apostle Paul told the church in Galatia, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. If we're yoked with Jesus, we will keep in step with him. We can't go faster than him. And sometimes, friends, that's frustrating, because we just might be in a hurry when he's not. Our job is to keep in step with the Spirit, to stay yoked with Jesus. Paul told the church in Rome, our lives get in step with God by letting him set the pace. So let me ask you very frankly, who's setting the pace of your life right now? 2 weeks ago today, a man called Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya set a new world record for the marathon in Berlin, Germany, running 42.2 kilometers in 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. It was the first sub 2 hour, 2 minute marathon that was ever run. I watched the race, which was replayed later in the day, and Eliud had three pace setters, three teammates helping him try to run a new world record. It was great in that they helped him set a very torrid and frenetic pace, but the pace was so fast that they had all dropped out of the race by a little bit over the halfway point. After 21 kilometers, they couldn't keep the pace, but he kept going. I've run a number of marathons in my life, and I did a little bit of calculating. I even qualified for Boston once, and I calculated that if I ran that marathon, he would need to give me a 16.5 kilometer lead. This is true. Marathon is 42.2 kilometers. He would need to give me an almost 17 kilometer lead for me to finish on time with him. That's just not fair. This is not the kind of pace setting that we're talking about. When Jesus sets the pace of our lives, it's not a frenetic pace. It's doable. It's manageable. I said this when we launched our series, that we have no record of Jesus ever running anywhere. He was never in a hurry, and he was never late for an appointment. And you won't be either if you're connected to him. And the truth is, each of us is going to be yoked to something in life. If it's not Jesus that we're yoked to, we're going to be yoked to something else. And it's not going to be at the pace that Jesus sets. It'll be something that will drive you or push you or pull you. It might be the expectations of other people that you're yoked to. It might be the desire to please people that you're yoked to. It might be the pursuit of a dream for fame and fortune that you're yoked to, that's pulling you. You know, some of you, you've got so many yokes, you're being crushed under their weight. And you think the answer to deal with the burden that you are bearing is to escape, to go on a vacation. But here's the problem. Wherever you go, there you are. So Jesus says, take my yoke. Give up control, and you'll be at rest. You'll experience peace, because he'll set the pace and the direction of your life. So whose yoke will you choose? Jesus' yoke, which is easy and light, or another one that is heavy and burdensome? So Jesus invites us to come to him, to turn to him, and then to take on his yoke. And then he says this, he says, learn from me. Learn to trust me. Second half of verse 29 says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, you read through the Gospels and you'll see that Jesus showed us how to live a healthy rhythm for life, how to live with purpose, how to live with peace. And that's why he says here, watch how I do it. Watch how I live. If we want to learn from him, we have to be in his word. We have to read the Bible. This is where we see how Jesus lived. We learn his ways from his word. And if you're living an overloaded, heavy-laden life, you know what? You didn't arrive there overnight, and you're not going to solve your situation overnight. You're going to have to unlearn some harmful patterns of behavior. And then you're going to have to learn to establish and live into healthy, life-giving rhythms. And you may be sitting there wondering, well, what can I learn from Jesus? How does Jesus being gentle and humble help me? Like, why is that so important? I mean, why didn't he say, learn from me because I have strength and stability, or I have endurance and stamina? No, he says, learn from me because I'm gentle and humble. Why are these things so important in leaving an overloaded life? Well, not only do we learn better from someone who is gentle and humble rather than from someone who is harsh and arrogant, it's also because gentleness and humility are the antidotes to the biggest causes of overload. And that's living this driven type of a life where we're going and going and going, we're overcommitted, where we're being prideful, wanting to control everything, trying to do it all, trying to have it all, trying to please everybody. And Jesus says the antidote is gentleness and humility. And he was able to live this way because the goal of his life was simply to do what God the Father wanted him to do, and he didn't worry about the rest. What would happen if you did the same? What would happen if you only concerned yourself with doing what God wanted you to do, living in simple trust in him, instead of worrying about things and controlling things? Could this lessen your load and lower your stress and give you a little bit more room to breathe in life? Again, the Psalms tell us, since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? If you're yoked with Jesus and he's directing your steps, you don't have to understand everything, but you can be confident that he's taking you in the right direction at the right pace. Some of you have arrived here this morning and you're ready to give up. You're tired. You're ready to give up on your marriage. You're ready to give up on one of your kids. Maybe for you, it's you're wanting to give up on one of your siblings or on your work or health or your education, whatever it might be for you. Look what the Bible tells us in Psalm 142. It says, when I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. And if I'm yoked to him, if I'm teamed up with Jesus, he's going to lead us. He's going to lead you in the right direction. So as we begin to wrap up here, how do I stay fueled for the journey? I admit my need for Jesus. I turn to him. I give him control and I learn to trust him. Well, how do I do that? How do I develop this trust in him? How do I develop my faith? Well, I need to fuel up every day. I need to begin every day by filling my tank. The Bible tells us that faith comes from hearing the word of God. Right? It goes back to making time to be alone with God, to be in his word every day, listening to him and then doing what he says. We talked about this in previous weeks. If you want your faith to grow, start every day by filling your tank. Get alone with God. Open his word and listen to what he says and put that into play in your life. That's where we learn to trust, and it's where God becomes very real to us. The verse there, Matthew 6:6, it says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Do that every day. Your life will change. And finally, if we want to stay fueled for the journey, we also have to share the journey. Don't travel alone. Travel together. Stay connected to other believers. Stay connected to a church family. Never, ever did God intend for us to go through life alone. In fact, the very first time we ever see God say something is not good about humankind, it occurred when He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Second chapter of the Bible. God didn't design us to go through life alone. We were made for community. Loneliness isn't good for us. It's not good for our soul. And remember, being alone and being lonely are two different things. Being alone with God, this is a good thing. But being lonely, it's not a good thing. So regardless of whether you're married or not, or whether ever you get married or not, you need relationships. You need people in your life. We need each other. And that's why we emphasize meeting together with other believers regularly in a smaller group setting where you share the journey together. We all need that. It's also why the writer of the book of Hebrews said this. He says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. The Apostle Paul tells the church in Ephesus, the church is Christ's body, and it is filled with Christ who completely fills everything else. So what do you call a spiritual filling station? It's church. Together we're filling up right now. We're sharing the journey. And that can also happen in smaller groups as well. Just don't do life alone. The church is filled with Christ, and He fills everything else. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we take some time to reflect on what we've heard these past weeks. The reason we wanted to start a new school year and a new ministry season with this series is because we really want you to be healthy. You are the church. And if you're not healthy as an individual, we're not going to be healthy as a gathered faith community. And I don't know about you, but I find some of the foundational values and teachings that we receive from Scripture are being ever more challenged in our day. And we can be tempted to drift from living in these healthy rhythms that Christ modeled for us. And we can buy into the unhealthy patterns of what our culture tells us life should look like. Jesus modeled for us how to live a life in close connection to God the Father. One that is meaningful and abundant. One that has an eternal quality of life to it. One that is characterized by peace of mind and rest of spirit. And the question that I have for you is, are you living this life? Are you leaning into this life more and more? Wouldn't it be great if the people who are connected to us relationally, the people that we work with, the people that we live with in our communities would say, you know, she's different. There's something about him that he's different. I just don't see them being stressed out ever. They're living with margin in their life. They're living at peace. You know, one of the best ways we can tell other people about Jesus and make him known in this world is to live a life that isn't stressed out. It's a life that's yoked with him. I can't think of a better witness than living at peace and rest in a world where everybody else around you is totally stressed out. How different could that be for people who are living frenetic-paced life? I mean, if Christians are just as stressed out as everybody else, the people that we're connected to who aren't connected to Christ will just say, well, the only difference between my life and their life is that they have a few extra meetings that they go to every week. No, thank you. I don't want that life. We can all learn to live the healthy rhythms that lead to wholeness and health in Jesus Christ. It starts by coming to Jesus and by walking with him. And regardless of where you're at in your journey right now, Jesus says to you, come to me. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take the yoke that I give you, put it on your shoulders, and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. The yoke I give you is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Friends, this is the most important invitation you will ever get. Jesus says to you, come to me. Have you responded to his invitation? Maybe you've been in church all your life, but you've never done that. Or maybe you're here for the very first time, and you've never heard anything like this. And you've never made a commitment like this before. You can come to Jesus. You can turn to Christ. You can give up control. And you can learn to trust him. Let's pray together. Have you ever come to Jesus? The starting point in refilling an empty tank is to talk to Jesus about it. Admit to him that you need his help. So in this quiet moment here, tell him what's frustrating you and know that Jesus will never ignore you or turn you away. He wants to be your partner and your pace setter in life. So take a moment to share your heart with him. Heavenly Father, I am tired of being tired all the time. I'm tired of trying to control everything. Tired of a life without rest, a life without peace, a life without any kind of margin. Forgive me. Forgive me, Father, for doing life on my own. For all of the ways I've tried to be God and all the things I've tried to control. And for the things that I've turned to for relief instead of turning to you. Today, Jesus Christ, I come to you. I want you to be the pace setter of my life. I want to stop trying to control all the things that I actually really have no control over in the first place. So forgive me for my arrogance. Forgive me for allowing my insecurities and my ego to take on more activities than I could ever possibly manage. Forgive me for pridefully overloading and overscheduling my life, for filling my life with less important things that I really don't even have the time for, or I don't make the time for what's most important. Jesus, I want to learn from you. You model a life lived in close connection to the Father, and I want to live that kind of a life. I want to be gentle and humble like you so that I can have the peace and the rest that you alone offer. And Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the freedom that those who hear this message and who turn to you, who give up control and are committed to learning to trust you, will experience. I pray that they would grab a hold of your hand and see that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light. Father, thank you for providing for us not just a way to live a life that is in your pace, a life that is in a healthy rhythm, but thank you for providing also work that we can do. We thank you for the living that we can make. And we know that this is a gift from you as well. And so with grateful hearts, we turn back to you a portion of what we have earned to honor you to say, you are the Lord. You are our provider. We rest in your provision. You are a good, good Father. We love you. We praise your name.